2 Timothy chapter 2, and then we're going to go back into the Old Testament to Joel. Not the one sitting here, but the one in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin here in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Okay, Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And let's look here in verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Okay, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the good hymns this morning, the choir. Thank you for the ability we have to junior church, that we have a morning and an evening service. We're grateful for those who come out, those who are sincere about why they're here. They want to learn from you. If they're here without Christ, we're grateful that they're still here and trust that the Lord will bring the needed conviction, that they'll see that they need to be saved and that it can only be through Jesus Christ. We're grateful for your word, the ability to have it in our laps or here on the podium, knowing that it's preserved in our English language. And Father, I just ask that you work through it today and all the things we look at, and that it would have the authority and that it should have in our lives. We would really be losing if we waste our time here this morning and just go through some kind of mental or spiritual gymnastics. We want what you want for us. And we know that you want your will to be accomplished in us, and I pray that we do as well. So speak to every heart, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All of God's people. If you claim to be one of God's people, you can only claim that through one means, and that's Jesus Christ. In his death, burial, and resurrection, he came, died for you, shed his blood for you, raised up the third day, and then offers you salvation through himself and no other. And if you come to trust him as your Savior, then you would be listed what I just said, all of God's people are in God's army, whether we like it or not. I grew up under the draft. And when you reached 18 years old, you were sent a card. And it had a number of things on it. And if you had certain numbers, then you were required to report to the draft board. And if you didn't, then you didn't. Well, I had a history as a child of medical issues. And so I was designated 4F, so I didn't have to go. But this is in Christ's army. You're not given that. You're not given that choice. You are in the army. We had a fellow here for a long time who said, "I'm like the Quakers. I'm against war, any kind of war." I said, "What is that? Spiritual war? I'm against all war." I said, "We're in a spiritual warfare. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We're all in this army, and we're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 3 says, to me that means we need to be militant. Have you ever seen a passive military person engaged in warfare? Now, some of the rules of engagement that have come down from these liberal people that, don't shoot at them unless they shoot at you first. It's crazy. So anyway, we're to be good soldiers, militant. In Joel chapter 3, it depicts a judgment of God in the future. In all likelihood, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is off the wall of Jerusalem, across to the Mount of Olives, a very small area, the Kidron Valley. And there will be judgment there. And you can see that it's called the Valley of Decisions. Decisions were made that enabled or that resulted in those people going to be there in that particular judgment. You would not want to be in that judgment. You just wouldn't want to be. But every day of our lives, we're faced with decisions. And for the most part, we decide either to take the high road or the low road. And we, every day, every decision, to make the best decision or the worst decision. To decide for truth or to decide for that which is false. For victory or defeat. For the flesh or for the spirit. For Christ or for the devil. For heaven or for hell. In agreement with the word or opposed to it. My Bible has a line right down the middle. It divides the left side from the right side. In life, your decisions aren't that way. You're either on this side or you're that side. There's no line down the middle. You can't straddle the fence. You're either for the Lord or you're against Him. So these are important. I think every decision is vitally important because it determines eventually the end results of our lives. The decisions that I made before I was saved had weight to my salvation. I brought them into my salvation. Decisions I made or make have left me where I am today, but not necessarily tomorrow. I mean, if I make some bad decisions today, then that's where I'll be tomorrow. But I want to look at some areas that are critical to all of us. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be in a lot of places, so hopefully you came to work. Romans chapter 8. And let's look here at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right, first thing I want to look at is divine leadership. If in Psalm 23, verse 3, divine leadership will lead us into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Psalm 107, I think it's in verse 7, by way of application, that the Lord leads us in the right way. And we need that right way. And that right way comes through divine leadership. It's a pure, it's a holy way. You can follow it. It's a plain path. So that begs the question, where do you see in God's Word that He leads us to compromise, to make excuses, or determine our own will apart from Himself and His Word? Where do you see that? I haven't found that yet. But we need divine leadership. We can make good decisions based on that leadership. And where do we get that? We get that, of course, from His Word. All right, number two, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There needs to be a determination. I call it a predetermination to be faithful. You can predetermine, this is what I'm going to be by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit working in me. I am going to predetermine to be faithful. It says, well, I'm not a steward. Well, not only are you a soldier, you're also a steward. We're all stewards. We're all soldiers. And we're supposed to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And what is the result? Faithful. He's faithful to bring the escape the moment the temptation comes, that you can come out of that temptation unscathed and faithful. That's important. I think as he gives us the means to be faithful, we should want to be faithful. Do you think he's going to make us be faithful? I think you need to want to be. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He did not save you to leave you to your own devices. He saved you and set you apart to himself. He will be faithful to you, but he also gives you the ability through the Holy Spirit to be faithful to him and to be faithful in all things. We should be faithful to pray for the cause of Christ, to be enabled and proclaimed everywhere we go, still in all the world. We should be faithful to the purpose of God for our lives, whether it's at home, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, wherever it may be. We should be faithful to the program of our local church. These things are important. Where do you draw the line on being less faithful, more faithful? What is it in God's Word that is fluff, that is just there to occupy time, or paper? I mean, you could look at, if you have a reference Bible, maybe some of them are fluff, but the Word is not fluff. Everything there is important. So the faithfulness, would you not agree, is in all things? I am not there yet. And neither are you. But I'm going that direction. One day, I'll be faithful in all things. In a way that is beyond my grasp to understand because of an old nature. So all of these things are important. The cause of Christ, the spread of the word, our local church, it's important. When you look across the earth, we have something that many countries don't have. It's just seated right here in this location. When you look at our country, we have something that many, many states don't have and cities don't have. It's right here, right before us. And we need to be faithful to that, lest we see what happens in other countries and other states happen to them and happen here. All right, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And there's two verses here. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. All right, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. All right, our decisions are dependent on a deepening of our spiritual life, a growth of our spiritual life. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, there is a double command. Both of them are important. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? Both are important, but as far as the deepening of our spiritual life, being filled with the Spirit ultimately means you won't be drunk with wine. And if you're drunk in wine, it's pretty obvious you're not filled with the Spirit. I mean, there's no middle ground here. It's one or the other. That's how it is. All right? We need to be a people that are obedient to His will. Back in Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. And look, there are a number of things that are given here. Every one of them is a command. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You want to talk about your will and His will being one? There it is. It's right there. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. All of these are important for being obedient to His will. I don't know that you could, maybe you could make them options, but they're really not options. They're guidelines for making good decisions. There's a lot of evil going around. Matter of fact, in Matthew 24:12, it says because of sin, iniquity, abounds. People have become hardened. There's no love. Well, all you need to do is look at our country, and pretty soon you can fret because of evildoers. I mean, there is a massive takeover trying to take place here, and you start fretting about that. Hey, why? We're here. We know who we are. We know where we're going. The sad part is you can be here and not know where you're going. You're playing with the same fire that is taking place in Portland and Seattle. And that'll destroy you. Right? We need to be committed to a worthwhile cause. In Psalm 35, look at verse 1. Psalm 35. In verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Plead my cause, O Lord, against them that fight against me. You know, we know the devil is our enemy. We know that it is devils are our enemies. Sometimes we even manage to make enemies of people. And David was talking about the people that hated him. So I'm sure Saul was, and some of them were involved in that. And he asked, you know, we need to be committed to a worthwhile cause. You remember when Goliath came on the scene and Israel went through all the people that were supposed to fight him and came up with nobody but David. Probably a teenager. And he was the one that really spoke to Israel and all the people. Is there not a cause? Why are you not fighting this guy? Well, there is a cause. And I mean, this guy was a massive. He was a giant. Well, there's giants in our lives. And there is a cause. You need to fight those giants. There's giants in our culture. I mean, we have the pornography. We have the drugs. We have the alcohol. We have the rancid music. We've got the abortion. I just picked up a report from an abortionist who finally lost her license because she boasted of cutting the preborn baby's vocal cords and say, you know, they don't scream that way. You think, how can anybody be that vicious? Well, how can anybody be vicious enough to take a baby out of the womb to kill it? Well, Herod destroyed the young children, and Pharaoh destroyed a lot of young ones. But these are people that just take evil to the next level. I would have never thought anything like that could ever happen. But here's somebody that's boasting about it. I mean, we need, is there not a worthwhile cause there to speak up? Yes. Doesn't mean we join in with the lost people, but it means we deepen our spiritual lives by knowing what the truth is and standing up. Maybe we could be the help of some of these people down the road. Acts chapter 1. Here's number 4. Acts chapter 1. This has to do with discovering abundant power. Acts chapter 1, and look at verse 8. And, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, a part of the earth. I take that as this. Let's use this location as our foundation. But what is this foundation founded on? The Lord Jesus Christ and the Word. So let's take this particular foundation, our firm foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not books, not formulas, not men, and let's move forward in the faith. Give out the Word. Give out the gospel. Witness to people. You remember, go here to Jude verse 3. He wanted to write about the common salvation that was given one time for all. Not as the cultists who say, well, around 1800 and something, we discovered the gospel. And it was this, and another one, 18 something, and we discovered another gospel. So he writes in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write a view of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We need to move out on that. And he explains in verse 4, for there certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if everybody believed the same things we believed? Wouldn't it be nice if you go next door and they open up the Word of God and they give out the Word of God? I don't even think they have the Word of God there. They have a book. And they open up and they read from the book and they pray from the book. Ever see politicians and people that are and charismatics pray? They read it. It's almost like there's a teleprompter. Their eyes are open. They're reading these things. We need to understand that there are people that are not like us, that appear to be like us, so that they can deceive you and me, and sometimes have. We need to look forward. Look there, down here in verse 22. And if some have compassion, making a difference. There are some people we can love to the Lord. We can love them to trust Christ as their Savior. And others, verse 23, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted from the flesh. You love some and you scare some. You have to find out where the wisdom is to do that. You don't want to keep trying to scare people when you have no need to scare people. We had a kid in Bible college. All he ever did was talk about the tribulation. That's all he ever talked about. And he would try to scare everybody he talked to. He scared some people to be saved, but most of them thought he was crazy. Because when you're around... I'll be honest with you. When I first started hearing about prophetic things and some of the things that would go on, I thought, what did I get myself into? You know, this is crazy. But it's not. This is all truth. We need to make some eternal preparations. What do I mean by that? We lead somebody to Christ, we should try to follow up with them so they can grow. It's important. It's good that we see people that come and some that say that they get saved and then we don't see them. We have nothing to do with them. And they don't want anything. And you wonder, did it take place or not. But to make really good decisions, we have to use, not just discover, but use this abundant power that we have. The gospel of Christ. There's nothing more powerful than the gospel of Christ. Why do we not use it? Why do we think that we have to win people to ourselves, and then somewhere down the road we'll slip a gospel into them? It's not going to work. All right, Romans chapter 12, number 5. I've already gone over my 3 points. Romans chapter 5, 12, sorry. Verse 1, verse 2, hopefully these are easy for you to remember. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To make good decisions, I believe we have to dedicate ourselves fully to Christ. The world has a desire for you. Number one, you stay lost. It doesn't want you to be saved. But if that doesn't happen, and last week I talked about Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, and then verse 28. When Moses was trying to free the people, Pharaoh said, well, you can go and sacrifice, but stay in Egypt. And then he compromised a little, a few verses down, you can go, but don't go far away. And so the world says, okay, be a Christian, but also be a worldling. Be worldly. Stay in the world. Or if you're going to have to leave, don't go far away. If you want to stay close, you have to keep in touch with everything that's going on in the world. You know, we have to break with those physical tie downs of the world. I mean, they're good for hurricanes, but they're not good for breaking up away from what we were saved out of. We sing the hymn, "All for Jesus." And it's true, and for the word that he preserved for him, and for all our love for him, we have something that we can give to him, and that's ourselves. I don't know that we have anything else we can give him. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our building. He doesn't need our air conditioning. He doesn't need anything. He needs our heart, and he wants that more than anything. My son, give me thine heart, Solomon said in Proverbs 23. That's what he wants. If I've given him my heart, if I've given him what verse 1 says, my mind will be transformed. And I'll be able to give him stuff spiritually as well that I could never give without that. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look here in verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. You want to make good decisions? Die daily. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it talks about putting to death the deeds of the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, verse 6 and 7, to put off the carnal thinking of the mind. That these wouldn't be there if we couldn't do this. In Romans 13, 14, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 21 through 24, put off the old man, put on the new man. Again, Galatians chapter 5, I want us to look at that when it's close enough. Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. All right, so if we're going to die daily, we have to understand that we're dying daily, maybe even more hourly. Because there are going to be some things that are going to come up. And if you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, guess what? You're not going to, you can't be fulfilling or walking in the Spirit. You just can't. You can't go both places at the same time. It's never worked that way. We need to die daily. And if we'll do that, sometimes maybe we don't have to make those snap decisions. Maybe we could think about something and ask the Lord and pray before we give an answer. All right, James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I don't see as many. I don't hear as many pages turning. I think some of you got tired. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Good decisions means defeating Satan. Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11 gives us all the scripture. I mean, the Lord answered the devil's temptations by, thus saith the Lord. Three times. Every time. And John 14, 26, and then 16, 13 speaks about the power that we have to be able to defeat him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In 1 John 4, we need to defeat Satan. Satan and his people are coming after us every single day. And in many decisions, especially if we're a people that have believed, well, I'm not going to leave Egypt. I'll be a Christian, but I'm going to stay in Egypt. I'm going to fill my mind with the things of the world. And then something like this comes along, and you can't do it because your mind is so saturated with the world. This is why you don't entertain people in churches. This is why you don't have the music that gets them all wound up physically. Because once you do that, you've just done exactly what I said Pharaoh wanted the Israelites to do. Well, you go ahead, sacrifice, worship, do whatever you want, but just don't leave Egypt. All right, so I think there were seven. One of the biggest testimonies of Christ's armies is that many, many of his soldiers are AWOL. You non-military people, absent without leave. Or not militant. Again, we're in a spiritual warfare. We are either going to be victorious or we're going to be defeated. There is no neutrality here. Friday was 19th anniversary of 9/11. I happened to catch the History Channel, and they had three separate programs, one for the Twin Towers, one for the airplane in Pennsylvania, and then the other for the Pentagon. My dad was in the Pentagon. I think he was in the D ring, which has led more to most of the Department of Defense, but I'm not really sure. But he wasn't there then. And so the one in the Pentagon was the last one. And it was the one that, even though there wasn't as many people killed and blah, 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 there was just caught my attention on something. And it was a man that they were interviewing that he just realized after the first attacks that something was going to happen. He didn't know where. He thought maybe the Capitol or the... He didn't think the White House because that was too hard, but maybe the Capitol. And then he could hear the roaring of the engine. And he knew they're going to hit here. And it got louder and louder. And he managed to get out. And then he was out on the grass. There was a lot of people out on the grass, more running. And then there was another soldier dressed like this. He wasn't in a uniform. And they made eye contact. And they walked over to each other and they said, we've got to go back. We have got to go back in there. And they both agreed that this was their, what he called their mission. to rescue as many as they could, and that nothing should come between us and our mission. And those words, they're just there. And I'm thinking, what is our mission? What is your mission? Do we even have a mission? And if we did have a mission, what have we allowed to come between us and our mission? And how come we're not trying to rescue as many as we can? Some saved people, some lost people. Some people that are in places they shouldn't be. What are we doing? And here these two, I mean, they were very open about it. This was our mission. And I mean, the possibility of death was great. Those are haunting words. We have commands in Scripture that we must decide either to obey or reject. It's our decision, because this is all about decisions, but it affects more than just you, doesn't it? You can't make a decision that doesn't affect other people. And so wherever you are in this message on making decisions, don't let anything come between you and your mission to make good decisions. If you're here without Christ and you leave without Christ, you have made possibly the worst decision you could ever make in your life. And you will pay for that for all eternity. And God will not spare you any mercy or any grace, because you had the opportunity, and you, on either pride, either background, either apathy, whatever, decided, no, I want hell and the lake of fire. And He'll give it to you. And we'll be the worse for that, because we will lament and mourn over your loss. And your lamenting and your mourning and your torture will be to no avail. Make good decisions. If you're here and the Lord spoke to your heart here somewhere, I don't know, then make a good decision. Because no decision is a bad decision. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you. We realize who we are, where we are in life, in the scheme of things, of time. We understand, I think clearly, your return is much more available than it could, when we say it at any moment, it could even be beyond, before any moment. And we need to be ready. We need to figure out whether we're on the people, with the people going up, or the people staying here. The decision won't be made afterwards. It'll be made for us. The likelihood of somebody being saved from even here, when they've heard and heard and heard and heard and heard and rejected and rejected, I imagine it's possible, but it's not probable. So speak to our hearts. If there's things we need to make right, let's make them right. And let's arm ourselves with things that will enable us to continue to make right decisions. We just ask that you be with us during this invitation. If there's anyone here that's been saved, never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, here's an opportunity to make a good decision. Nothing to do with being saved. Nothing to keep you saved. Everything to do with identifying with Jesus Christ, being obedient to Him. Someone here that's visiting, not a member of this local church, and you're speaking to their heart, I just pray that they would make the intent known, that they'd like to be a part of this. And we have material to give them. They can read it. We can talk about it. We just know that You want us as one. And we just pray these things now in Jesus' name.